Brian Sotheby joins us in studio. Suds, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I am doing well. Very well. Lots to discuss from, are you a tennis fan at all?
I like watching it, yeah.
Did you watch any of the French Open this morning?
I watched a little bit, yeah.
Bouchard or Roenick?
Roenick, yeah.
Huh? Man, Djokovic pretty good.
Well, yeah.
But Roenick was right there.
No.
You see the difference. Because what did he lose? 7-5, 7-5, 6-4.
Yeah, it was tight.
It's tight. But at certain times in each set, you would just see kind of that. When Djokovic needed a shot, he found a way to get made.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
great match.
A great match. Yeah. And Bouchard, man, she was gutsy. Down 5-2 in the first set, comes back, wins a tiebreaker, gets spanked in the second set. Then she's down in the third, comes back and wins again.
Yeah, I just caught the highlights of her. I didn't get up that early.
Yeah, I was up. Those little guys, I don't sleep in very much, so, which is fine.
My guys, he's like 7:30.
Oh, okay, 7:30. So. That's not bad.
Yeah.
But no, it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And back to back Grand Slam semifinals for Jeannie Bouchard. Yep. She's taking on Sharapova in the next round. And, obviously Sharapova is the favorite, but, she came into this tournament ranked 18th.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even on the radar screen, but she went into the Australian Open. Now she comes out. She could be close. I don't know what the numbers are. I haven't looked at it, but you got to think she's going to be up 4 or 5 spots at least.
Yeah. You think she can beat her?
She's got a shot. I think even when you watch her against Navarro, it was more so the consistency with her. Like, I'll say one thing about Bouchard, man. She's got unreal athleticism. Mm-hmm. She can get to a lot of balls. She keeps herself in. And her backhand return was great on serves today.
Mm-hmm.
Sharapova's experience, but this isn't Sharapova 5 years ago. She's still very good. So I think Bouchard's got a shot, definitely. You saw, though, in that game against Navarro where she gets down, like she can really kind of unravel for a few points, and then catches control. I think against Sharapova, I don't think you can afford to do that.
Yeah, well, that's being young, right?
Yeah,
and
totally,
and that's how you grow and learn.
But you're in the semifinal back to back. That's outstanding
awesome.
For her.
Yep.
I'd have to look. Is she the only one who went to both semifinals? I'm sure some of our tennis guys would know that. I haven't looked that up so far this year. Would that be? Would she be the only one who's been in both major semifinal so far? If so, it's pretty good. It's consistency.
Yeah.
So I enjoy tennis. We're seeing it. We had Edgem on earlier, the Canadian, who is the Big Ten Big 12 Player of the Year with Wiggins, who we beat out. Two Canadians. We're seeing more Canadians in a lot of other sports.
And every sport.
Maybe we shouldn't be shocked that we see hockey registration going down a little bit. People are looking at other options.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. It seems like every other sport in Canada is on the rise, and maybe that's a good thing.
Well, likely. It's also on the rise because in hockey, we can't go much farther. We're at the top.
and that's just it. Is there anywhere to go really but down? It used to be the only sport everyone played here. I don't know if it's total cause for fire alarms or it's just other sports growing and people finding interest in that. And it's pretty cool to see what's going on in basketball, what's going on in tennis. Baseball's always been on the rise in the last 10, 20 years for Canadians as well. So it's pretty cool time.
I think it is good. We're just the belief that the best athletes are playing hockey, I don't buy it for a second anymore.
Yeah.
They're because cost is a big reason.
Huge.
Why some people just can't play hockey anymore.
Yep.
Simple. And I know there, I don't buy, some people say it's the culture of hockey. You know what? I have five nephews have gone through the system in recent years. And I never heard one of them have a horror story. Did you have did you get cut from a team? Yes. That's good. It teaches you some resiliency in life.
Yeah.
Not every kid can go through making every team. Newsflash, people.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's always political if your kid doesn't make it.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Sometimes, I remember I got cut from a team once.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a big deal. My parents didn't make it a big deal. You get frustrated for like a day, but you're 12 or 13, you move on.
Yeah.
It's not as big of a deal as I think some people think. And there's so many negative stories about hockey where, the lunatic parent. Well, do you know what the problem is? For all the great parents who are 98% of them, they're never talked about. Hey, we went to a Pee-wee tournament, and guess what? All the parents were cheering and cheering every kid on. Well, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the one dolt who was yelling and screaming at the end of the rink.
That's very true.
Right, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Hockey has an image problem because they don't promote the good parents.
I remember being on teams all the way growing up, and the fans and the parents of all the kids, for the most part, were phenomenal. I remember very few incidences that parents were getting out of hand, but you do remember the one or two guys that created. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's just, there's always going to be a few bad seeds.
Yeah.
And the sad part is, all those commercials out there for the bad hockey parent, most of the bad hockey parents watch that and be like, it's not me.
Yeah.
Right?
True. Yeah,
seriously.
True. Yeah.
Right? And those people aren't going to, and I've seen it. I'll go to those games and I politely will just mosey. Oh, so, whatever, right? Well, where'd you play hockey? Oh, I never played.
Yeah.
And you know what? Not that you have to have played at any high level, but if you played even at hockey, you would understand the yelling. And the best part is, I remember asking my nephew once, 8 years old. I said, do you ever hear what the parents say when you're on the ice? He's like, what?
Yeah.
The kids, so when the mom and dad are in the screen, come on, Johnny, skate
for it. It's just white noise. Right? You don't hear anything.
And the best part is, it's you. And you know what? This is a bad general, but a lot of these parents yell and scream at their kids, work hard. And I'm like, meanwhile, they're puffing on two cigarettes or about 40 LBs overweight. And I'm thinking, hey, maybe you should talk about working hard because you're not giving off the best example at home about just working hard to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, and that's where I know a coach did this. He put the parents on the ice against their 10-year-old kids at the start of the year and got the parents to go through the practice and the drills. And most of them couldn't last 10 minutes.
Really?
And he said, you know what? This is what we'll tell you to tell these kids not to work hard because they are working hard.
Yeah.
So don't ever think they're not working hard. It was the best thing coach could ever done.
Yeah.
Because most of the parents are like, okay, I got it. Because they were pretty embarrassed and humbled that after 5 minutes of practice, they're like,
yeah.
Right. And that's what you should, you know, there's subtle ways to go about it to send a message if you want to send it.
No, I mean, when you're a player out there and you're a kid, you don't hear any of it. You hear a lot of noise and a lot of different people yelling or parents chanting or the woman with the bell and horn or whatnot, but you can never make sense of someone actually standing and yelling. It's just total white noise.
Mm-hmm. Unless they go over the glass right there and go a little bananas on it. So I don't know. To me, is it a big number, a big drop concern? I know price is a big one based on all the text messages we're getting in from people. We'll have some open line time a little bit later on this. We are going to have Dr. Oz joining us next. He's in town kind of a controversial figure from some people. Some of the supplements that he's talked about on a show. So we're going to get into that a little bit. Because I know, Suds, you've talked a lot about wanting to drop a few LBs. So we'll see what Dr. Oz has for advice for former pro athletes who put on. Because a lot of guys, once they're done playing, I'm sure you're like, man, I am not going to a gym for a year. You're sick of it. That was your job for the longest time. So when you retire, the last thing you want to do is be like, oh, great. I got to go work out 2 hours a day. No chance.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
Right? And you probably eat less, but you don't necessarily, you're like, hey man, I can have some pizza now.
Well, exactly. You've spent your whole life eating properly and watching everything you eat and making sure that your body's in tip-top form, that once you sort of have that freedom, it's kind of fun for a little bit. And getting to the gym becomes more of a chore because it was always your job. It was always, that was always your motivation. And now you got to find a new motivation.